and welcome to Buddies Without Borders. My name is Stevie Jackson. I'm an actor, writer, producer in Vancouver, BC.
My name is Christopher Royce. I am a writer and a podcaster in the San Francisco Bay Area, California, USA.
You're more proud of that now than you used to be.
Well, things are looking up. It's oh God, I was going to try to say it sarcastically, but I didn't have the energy in my voice. It's morning in America.
No, new guy in charge is a big improvement.
Yeah, we have an adult in the room, and fortunately, he's in charge.
So we're going to get right into it today. Normally, we banter a bit, as our listeners will know, but we have three, count them, three very exciting guests with us today.
So many guests.
and I just want them to join the conversation immediately. So we have with us, from the Friday Night Movie podcast, the Corman family, Shai, Becky, and Lily. Hi, guys!
Hello!
Hi.
We're a family without borders.
That's right. True.
And a family without boundaries, to be honest.
Yes. And I actually want to start real quick. It seems like you have less borders and boundaries than recently because we had a relocation in the group.
We did. I moved from the San Francisco Bay Area. I moved from the East Bay to one house over from Shai. So this is Becky, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I should have made you guys introduce yourselves so people would know your voices.
So I'm Becky. I was living in the Bay Area for about 9 years, but pandemic life, man, couldn't do it. So husband and the kiddos, and we packed up and are now living nearly next door to Shai. And it has been life-changing, game-changing. Oh, I mean,
that's great.
Yeah.
The access to snacks is much, much higher.
And by that you mean for your children, because rarely is there a time I walk into my kitchen and one of your kids is not in my pantry eating out of a bag of something. So I'm very proud. It makes me feel, it warms my heart that I am the aunt, the Tia, as we call it in our house, the Tia with the good snacks. And they feel totally comfortable coming over and raiding the pantry. So
that's awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Tia with the good snacks sounds like something from pop music.
It does. I feel like that's maybe a Weird Al parody.
Yeah.
Well, I used to be, people used to be like, oh, you're Becky with the good hair. And now
oh, you're
Tia
Becky
with
the good snacks.
And I'm Tia with the good snacks.
That's good.
That would be a great social media handle. So then we have another Tia who's across an ocean, if I'm correct.
We do. Yes. Mm. What's the opposite of next door?
Next continent.
Yes. And I don't think I have very good snacks. So what's the point of me living next door anyway? Might as well just stay over here. I'm Lily and I live in Spain. And now we used to be a podcast of three siblings on three time zones. Mm-hmm. And now it's just two time zones. And I'm the other time zone. So that's me.
Has it been a difficult adjustment to being more easy to sync schedules?
It's equally, I guess, yes, because I feel like Becky always like, it was not easy, right guys?
It was not easy. And I feel like I suffered the most. I'd have to like podcast sometimes at like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
With like, I just gotten my kids up out of bed. So I am this is like, it was worth the move.
It was worth the move.
Anyway, yeah. Well, if it makes you feel better today, we are dealing with three time zones.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Thank you guys for accommodating.
And I guess four locations. So Chris is in the Bay Area and I'm in Vancouver, but we're in the same time zone.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Becky and Shai, you're in DC?
Virginia, DC area.
Yeah. And then Lily in Spain. So that's, it's still three time zones.
But I'm on the Portugal, London time zone. I'm not even on the actual Spain time zone.
Oh, that's confusing. There you go.
Yeah. Because I live very far east, like southeast of Spain. But
in the ocean.
In the ocean.
Yeah, I was like, you don't even live on a continent. House. You live on like a little island in the middle of nowhere.
It's called an archipelago, if you will.
An archipelago?
Yeah, I think
I've
it's archipelago.
Is it archipelago? I'm going to say it my way. I like it better.
And you do what you like.
I just have like a little house on the ocean, like just sitting there. It's a little houseboat where I podcast from.
That sounds like a dream.
Cool.
I want to live in the middle of the ocean away from everyone.
Especially during a pandemic,
right?
I have to say, like, jokes on you guys. Living out in the middle of nowhere in the pandemic has been helpful. So
Yeah. Do your listeners know, are you allowed to say how you ended up in Europe?
I think they do know since we
You didn't do it illegally.
I mean, I did
just barely do it illegally, but okay.
Definitely was an illegal immigrant. I have no problem saying that now that I'm legal. I definitely got in trouble with the law at some point. That's a podcast for another day. But it was my husband who tricked me into living here. So.
Well, listen, when we start our true crime podcast someday, you can be our first guest. It'd be like low-level crime that doesn't hurt anyone.
Exactly.
That's what we're discussing here.
Yeah, Lily has committed a lot of low-level crimes. And you could do a whole procedural show about the time Lily was a Spanish to English translator in the legal system in the Canary
Islands. So I went from being a criminal to helping criminals understand the language.
This week on Benign Crimes.
Exactly. 100%. Now
that's a great title. That's a great title. We should start that podcast, Benign Crime.
That's amazing.
Things like overstaying your visa by 2 days.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need more murder shows. We need more nickel and dime shows.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at how many, shy with your introduction.
Well, I was just gonna say I'm amazed at how many I've watched a lot of. No, I wouldn't say all procedurals, but I've been watching a lot of shows lately that are not like the deep true crime shows, but are just like the mystery of the week type shows.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm amazed how many of them, the crime is murder every single time. Yeah. I never really put it together. Like, is theft not, it always got to be a murder?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost always murder. Yeah.
It's not like a hacker. It's not a thief. It's not an identity thief. There's always a murder every week, which is odd because I try to watch these mysteries with my kids and they get a little unsettled when they show us dead bodies.
It's really funny because our dad is really into like those mystery type shows, but British based shows. The other day he's like, you know, the like homicide crime rate in England is out of control. And me and my mom look at him, we're like, oh my God, really? I didn't know that. He's like, do you know how many crime shows there are?
Yep. Yeah, that's a one-to-one correlation.
Right, exactly.
I mean, what I've learned is that people jump to murder very quickly. Like I hadn't really thought about it until I follow a director on Twitter named Lexi Alexander, and she also likes to watch true crime. And she pointed out one day that like every single episode of Dateline or whatever, it's always a couple. It's always the husband trying to get out of a marriage and he just always murders his wife. Like, is divorce not an option?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, why does everyone jump to murder?
Well, divorce is really expensive.
I was going to say, murder just might be cheaper.
Yeah.
But not in the long run.
Yeah.
Not with those legal fees, but.
And you always know they've gotten caught. If you're on Dateline, it's because you got caught.
Very short-sighted.
Yeah.
Shai, are you familiar with Lexi Alexander and her work?
I am. Well, maybe I'm familiar with her work, but maybe not her name.
Green Street Hooligans, the Punisher Warzone movie with Ray Stevenson. She's a great, great action director. That's somebody I think you would and should know about.
I got to check that out. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Very cool. The Punisher Warzone movie. That's interesting. I haven't actually seen that, but but wow. Yeah.
It's a super intense movie, and she talked about making it on a special episode of How Did This Get Made, I want to say almost 10 years ago, and how she like took panels from the comic book and used them to do the storyboarding of the movie, and then wanted very desperately to put together like a press packet for the reviewers so that people would know like all the effort that she and her production team put into making the movie look like a liquid comic book, the way Zack Snyder always gets credit for doing, like, hey, this looks like it was ripped from the pages. And the studio shot her down, and then all the critics panned her movie for various reasons. Oh. And she was like, oh, if we had just given them these 7 pages that my staff put together, they would have understood what our intention was instead of taking it wildly out of context.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is wow. All right. I'm going to revisit that.
And absolutely.
Zack Snyder's okay, but I think, well, whatever. I think he gets maybe a little more credit.
Maybe
an over amount of credit. Let's level that credit out.
Yeah.
there should be more credit to go around to lots of other different people who may or may not end up in director jail for stupid reasons.
Director jail.
I have, by the way, committed to watching to some friends on another podcast that I have never seen the original cut of Justice League. And so I will watch the Snyder cut unblemished.
That's an interesting idea.
And give my review, which I think is a fair, I mean, people have been hyping the Snyder cut.
So, I can watch it with ever. You. I've never seen Justice League either.
So this better be good, people. So. Like,
or maybe it's just in the context of like the original cut, it's much better.
I don't know.
Well, point, we'll see.
Or is that's it just what I'm longer? Curious about also. That's my yeah. question. Is it just 1,000 hours long?
I've got to say, I don't know. Is there, I'm detouring a little bit just to say that a lot of movies where a director's cut exists, I actually, if I've seen both, I often favor the original cut, even though I will often watch the director's cut because I want to see the extra stuff.
Yeah.
But if I think of like Return of the King, right? Mm-hmm. Specifically that one. I actually love the extended cut of Fellowship of the Ring because I yeah. think like there's so much world building. But I think a lot of the stuff that's added in Return of the King is actually pulls away from the suspense of the movie. Alien,
interesting.
Which I think is a perfect movie. Its director's cut actually like really chops up the intensity of the last act, even and also introduces some really strange plot holes about alien biology. Anyway, so
no, but that's a good point. Like if I've learned anything from sitting in an editing room, it is trust your editor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they've taken something out, there's you should let them take it out.
That's it. I want to see the editor's cut. I don't want to see the studio's cut. I'm yeah. not yeah. sure I want to yeah. see the director's cut, but the editor, the exactly. Stevie, that's it. Yeah. I'm calling for the editor's cut.
Well, yeah, because I sat in the editing room pretty much, well, obviously not the whole time that our editor was working on Honestly, Charlotte, because that was hours and hours and hours and hours. But I did sit in there to review every cut of every episode. And I would sometimes ask her if she could show me like before it, could you put that back in or could we try it this way? Mm-hmm. And she was very obliging at showing me like what she had done and then what I asked for. And then what she had already done was always right. I don't think I ever said, no, do it my way. I think my answer after I saw it both ways is always like, yep, yep, you were right. Sorry, I questioned you. Let's just go with that.
I love, love, love Honestly, Charlotte. So it turned out.
Oh, thank you.
We yeah. all love it. I mean,
she did a great job.
Huge fan. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys are nice.
I want to see season 2. So I'm
yeah, it's written. Someone needs to give us a lot
hey.
Of money.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
hey, at through, least it's written.
There are two exciting. Versions written because we wrote one version.
The director's cut.
That's right.
The editor's cut and the director's cut.
Honestly, mm-hmm. what happened is we wrote one version and we were pursuing funding. And because we were, it's always a long shot when you're pursuing funding, but because we were, and it was like, well, if we get this, then we have to go to camera in, you know, like in this month. So I emailed the major cast members and said, just so you know, this might not happen, but if it does, we got, mm-hmm. you know, we have to go to camera. And one of them let us know that she wasn't coming back. So then we had to rewrite the season explaining that person's absence.
Yeah.
And it was just, she's retired from acting. So she just didn't.
No, it wasn't my, what's her name? My favorite one. What's her name? The boss. The
no,
boss.
It was not. It wasn't.
Oh my God. Thank God.
It wasn't Pam who plays Louise. No.
Oh God. Thank God.
No, it was Jane who plays Gabe. Just let us know okay. that she had stepped back from the business and,
right.
and she was lovely about it, but basically just said, I'm not acting anymore. So then we had to write a version without her. So there are two versions of season 2.
But I feel like if Working Moms has like how many seasons now, like 4-5 seasons, something then like honestly, that, yeah. Charlotte should get like an order for at least, you know, 2 5. And 3.
If anyone yeah, wants say, like, to give me be... money, I will do it.
People who made Working Moms, we have the next big hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listeners, we'd like to talk to you about an investment opportunity.
We actually, I think the funding we pursued was partly CBC and partly Creative BC, and we did not get it. So I will say, I'm not sure anyone got it that year. It's one of those things where right. you apply for funding, but they don't necessarily have to give it to anyone.
Yeah.
I think they should have to give it to someone.
Yeah, personally. Where does that money right. go?
It just sits there until next
it's
year.
It's Canada.
Surf just, and turf yeah. for everyone.
No, I literally think it sits there until the next year. I think it's like, well, if we don't spend it, then we don't we don't have to ask the government for more next year. We'll just, it's the same pot. Yeah, I don't know, but there's maybe someday is all I can say about that. So for now, we are newly, I was going to put this in the plugs and maybe I still will, but we are newly streaming on a service called Fearless that can be watched.
We saw that. I was thinking maybe we'll just, you know, get some buzz. There's some demand for season two. We'll pipe up there.
Let's hope. Yeah, let's hope. So for now, that could be watched in a bunch of English-speaking countries. It's not all over the world yet, but it's Canada, the States, Australia, I think the UK, Ireland, all the big English-speaking countries.
There's an Australian version of our dad that loves Canadian office comedies that is watching, instead of our dad who watches Australian crime shows, that is binging Honestly Charlotte right now.
Well, I hope he's very wealthy.
That's what you need is a Medici, a patron.
That's right. So speaking of watching stuff, we did ask you guys to tell us what you're watching lately, what culture you're consuming. So I'm going to start with Becky.
She raised her hand. How cool is that?
I'm very excited. I'm just like, I'm so excited because I feel like first thing I'm going to say,
yeah,
I imagine everyone except for Shy, because he's a party pooper, watched this week. And that's fine. So I'm going to bring it up because I imagine it has to be on everyone's list, but hello, the Meghan and Harry Oprah interview. Like,
saw it. Yep.
Was that not the best hour of your life? Like, two hours.
Yeah, it was 2 hours.
It was just like, I don't know why. I don't care about the royals. I don't really care about celebrity gossip also, like that much. Like, same. These are not things that matter to me or are important to me. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's because it's Oprah. It just felt so important. Mm-hmm. And it was such a good interview. And I'm like, Oprah is the best. She just is the greatest. So I loved that. I like watched it by myself with no kids interrupting me. That was like my me time. It was felt very sacred.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it. So that was my first. Mm-hmm. And then the other two things I have been really into lately are, one is not like a show or anything, but it is a piece of media. It's a book. It's a graphic novel Shai gave me, not a book. Shai doesn't read books. Let's be clear. And it's part of the Avatar Last Airbender world, It's the book The Promise. So I've been reading that graphic novel, and I finished the show probably a year ago. Shai, when did I watch it? Like probably about a year ago. And going back into this and like getting back together with my friends, with the characters, it just transports me into this world, into their world. I can hear their voices in my head as I'm reading it. I'm like imagining it come to life. It fills me with pure joy. Everything else melts away. And I don't know, did you guys watch Avatar? Have you watched that show?
I got into it because of Korra, but I only watched the first season of Avatar.
I've just seen a little bit of it because I think it went off our Netflix about as soon as I found it.
It's worth the investment. I mean, Shai, you can speak to
the way, you know how Chris, you and I share a love of Star Wars.
Yep.
But Star Wars at a certain point, sort of at various points, you could argue has either jumped the shark or it's become this sort of tortured mess, right? Like
that'll be everyone. You and I can take 3 hours to talk about all that. Yeah,
but I mean, like, there are certain things we can all agree on are still amazing, but a lot of it has been corrupted one way or another.
Sure. We'll stipulate to that as a general umbrella.
Yeah. Either by the creators, but what is amazing about the Avatar verse is that so far, other than the non-canon stuff, it remains uncorrupted. It remains like beautifully crafted by its creators. And the characters are so intentionally designed, and it's the universe that I care about most outside of Star Wars.
Wow.
For the percentage of universe that exists versus the amount that is a mess, it's a higher percentage, right? Like there's enough Star Wars out there that like, I, at this point I have to accept the fact that it's not perfect.
Yeah.
The Avatar verse for what it is, especially because these two creators still are involved, and now they're going to get to build it even more with their big Paramount deal.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to share, is that Michael DiMartino and Brian, I can never remember how to pronounce his name.
Kodiansko.
There you go, Mike and Brian. They just cut a big deal, I guess, with Nickelodeon to produce more films and series.
And it was after Netflix. So I have my own like story that I've written in my head of this, but Netflix was making a live action version of the show for which they were supposed to be the showrunners. Mm-hmm. They left in, you know, creative differences.
With like a pretty bombshell statement being like, to be clear, we're walking away because they are not honoring the deal of this really being our show and our vision.
Oh,
and you're like, damn. Okay.
Yeah. Then, it's like, respect.
And then Paramount Plus, which I swore when I saw the Super Bowl commercials I would never sign up for, then must have realized, because they were breaking like Netflix's records, although I have questions about Netflix's records. It's like attendance to WWE matches as reported by the WWE. But
40 million people were on hand to visit.
I guess Paramount or CBS or Nickelodeon, Viacom, they must have looked at it and said, oh, wait, this is something amazing. Okay, we're going to bring the creators back and just let them loose. And, you know, it's so, magic.
So I'm reading The Promise, which is the first book that it's like immediately when the series ends, this picks up exactly where that story ends. Like the same moment, you're in the same scene. And so it's just filling me with a lot of joy. And I'm not going to lie, it's the first book I've read in a long time. Like, I think since I was pregnant with my second kid. Anyways, so it's kind of refreshing. So there's that. And then the third thing is a fairly new obsession, because it's a new show, is, I don't know if you get it in Canada, but maybe you could just like watch YouTube clips, is the Amanda Ruffin show. So she was a writer for Seth Meyer.
Oh, Amber Ruffin.
Amber. Did I say Amanda? Sorry. Yeah, Amber Ruffin.
Yeah.
Not looking at my notes. Amber Ruffin. So she was a writer for Seth Meyer and then got her own late night show. And it is just, she's so hilarious.
Yeah.
She's just, so I feel like it's a combination of Seth Meyer, but obviously clearly not Seth Meyer, because it's her voice that you were hearing in his bits. But combined with the silliness of the Colbert bits that he puts on, because it's really, really silly, but then with like some very interesting underlying important shocking facts that you would get from John Oliver. So if you were to sort of take like the best of the three, but repackage it into something that feels just like refreshing and wholly original in her bits. Like, she was doing this bit about vaccines, about receiving vaccines. And it was the first thing I watched. I'm like, this actually feels like original. Like, no one has made these jokes before about it.
Wow.
And it was a really funny take on it. If I describe it, it won't sound funny, but it had to do with like you get a vaccine and then you get like all these like superpowers that come with it. But anyways, which was like, again, I'm not making it sound funny, but I really, really recommend Googling it and watching. And her sidekick, I don't know, it's not like a co-host, but like her sidekick that she talks with, Tarek, I think it's pronounced Tarek. They have such a great rapport, and it's so silly, but also really important and serious what she talks about on her show. And I adore her. I have like a just total new pop culture crush on her. Not new, because one of my favorite bits was when Seth Meyer would do this thing called like Jokes I Can't Tell.
Yes.
And it would be,
come on.
She would come on
yep.
and another female writer would come on and they would tell me, she would do the setup and then they would do the punchline of jokes that he can't tell because he's a white man and these, you know, and these women are on. So
yeah, that's a great bit.
So great bit. I've always adored her. So even though I got her name wrong, which
it's very close. Amber.
But so I can't recommend that anymore. That it makes me really happy in the morning, and I put on like a YouTube clip of her show, and it just
we'll link to it. We'll find. I definitely get. I don't think we get the show here, Or if we do, it's possibly on one of the many streaming services that I don't subscribe to because there are so many.
Well, I think it's on Peacock. I don't know if that's
available. Yeah, we don't get Peacock.
And
Peacock,
I don't know about you guys, but it is very hard to digest the news general and these days. And so the best way I have to process the news is by watching the late night comedy hosts do their take on it. And then I kind of like, once I have the groundwork, then I could go and like read more serious articles. And she's really very fast has become my go-to person for that, you know, perspective and hit on it. That's entertaining and funny and like sharp and makes me think. Yeah. And then I go, okay, I have the general gist of what's happening in the world now or in the country. And now I can, you know, I feel a little bit more desensitized and prepared to handle it.
No, I totally get you. I think that's the relationship I mostly have with Twitter, is like, let's get a general sense what's going on before we go to the front page of the Washington Post for like this journalism.
That's where I find my Amber Ruffin clips is on Twitter.
There we go.
That's where I watch her.
Yeah. So those are my three that are just shining bright for me right now.
Those are amazing. Also, yeah, all of those in the notes, because I want to talk about the Oprah interview for a minute too, because I'm not a royal watcher, but I show up for weddings and babies
and baby weddings
if they ever
like
one.
They're like, they are like the true extended cousins that the royals are to Canada. There,
yeah, it's like I felt
family occasions.
I wasn't gonna watch the Oprah interview, but then I felt like I should. Like I felt a weird duty. To
and
watch
sense
this
of obligation.
Interview. Yeah, as as a citizen of a Commonwealth nation, I felt like, oh, this is
my
job.
Says the word Commonwealth a lot in the interview.
Yeah,
I thought
she does.
She does. Yeah, throws that word around a lot.
She also got the firm. How scary is that sounding?
The firm.
Very intimidating. Really heard it called that before.
It's like a Grisham.
It's what it's called. Yeah, yeah. It's its other name. That's their the other name for like the.
The family so I watched it because I started to watch it because I thought, well, I really should, like, this is weirdly politically my business. So I should just like it's my business when they get married and have a baby, this is my business. I need to know. And also I was already on Harry and Meghan's side because I think that is a very hard family to join, and I'm old enough to remember the entire Diana story. Like she died the day that I moved into my university dorm when I was starting my first year. So it's like when I watched The Crown this season, it hit like the part of their story that intersects exactly with my life. And this felt like I get it. Like I remember the very first week of school we had. So I lived in this apartment style dorm, and there were these two common rooms with giant TVs in them, which I'm sure would look hilarious now because this was 1997.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like
TVs,
boxes.
Yep.
Yeah. But giant.
Weighed 200 pounds.
We all got up in the morning and watched the funeral. So I remember like that whole saga, and I get what Harry's afraid of. And also I think he's so far back in line to be king that I don't know why they can't just be allowed to go off and live a nice life. Like he's never, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Why should he why does he have to be punished?
Yeah.
And, like have to sit there and like in a castle, like hiding. Yeah.
I mean,
forever.
It would be nice if they could just accept Meghan and they could do their Duke and Duchess duties, but clearly that's not happening. And if it's, you know, if it's not going to happen, then I don't know why it has to be such a big deal for them to just say, you know what? I think maybe we're just going to move.
And,
when initially they came here, they came right to Vancouver, and I was like, that's good. We don't even have paparazzi. We'll leave them alone. That'll be fine.
There's a lot of space between the people.
Yeah, and we don't care in a lot of ways. We're used to famous people because people film here all the time. And we just don't have a paparazzi unless they decide to come up from LA. So I thought they'd be fine here, but then I guess everyone found out where they were and they had to go move in with Tyler Perry.
It sounds very scary, that whole saga no security. Like, it's very...
Like, you have to keep them safe. There's no... I mean, they are who they are. And
we keep our ex-presidents safe in the United States. We can... The royals can
yeah,
current members of their family safe.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, you're, there's a baby involved. Like you need to.
So weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an amazing interview though. And I loved that the first hour was Megan. Go ahead, Lily.
No, I was going to say, didn't it make you also want to be like, why don't we have more Oprah? They're bringing so many things back from the 90s. Where is she? Like, why don't, like, I don't want to, like, pay for own.
The thing about Oprah versus, okay, so all the things are coming back from the 90s because all these people, like, need to work. Oprah can do whatever she wants. So she gives us a hit when she wants now, to.
Like a unicorn. She just, like, appears whenever she feels like it, but.
Does she not have like an interview show? I feel like she does.
I think on her own.
She has like her Soul Sundays.
Yeah, she has her own network.
Super Soul Sundays thing. And she's a podcast.
She's also a multi-billionaire. So she really can do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like she pops up when she feels like it. Mm-hmm. And this is like, who else would you ask to do this interview? I think Oprah was, I can't imagine who else. She did it
in the old days. It would have been Barbara Walters. In the old days,
yeah, but
I
don't know that an old white woman would have been the right
person. No, not now. I'm just saying when we were growing up, yeah, Barbara Walters would be it might have been would be yeah, other right, typical person to do that interview.
But I think, you know, everybody loves Oprah. Right. Like at least our generation, like we grew up with her. Mm-hmm. It was a steadying presence at 4 p.m. on the television. Like everybody knows
every
Oprah.
Day.
Everybody loves day. Oprah. Everybody trusts Oprah.
Yeah.
So, and not that I know anything about this as a white woman, but I would venture to guess that Oprah knows a lot about the experience of being a black person in white spaces.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think that perspective was probably necessary for this interview.
Mm-hmm. And then even she was like, wait, what did you just say?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And she's like, excuse me, what?
So, yeah. Like people were worried about Archie's skin color. I mean,
she looked a bit surprised.
I will say I am amazed at some of the surprise of this, given that like we're talking a generation ago, two generations ago, whatever you want to say, like recently, like we've mm-hmm. got, you know, we've got actual footage from this era. This isn't like, you know, bygone era where the empire was like slicing up the world based on all sorts of things. So
within the last 100 years,
right? So I think, to Shai's point, like maybe we're not like actually shocked that they're racist.
No.
Yeah.
Or that some people in the firm or the family said some racist things, but it's more like the talking about it publicly. And I think with like the, you know, with the whole like image of the royal family, like something so
right, exactly
controversial. Nobody, but like, let's be
I don't
real.
Think anybody,
this
I
is
think,
not a reach for us to believe.
No, that, I think right. Oprah. They said it out loud.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think Oprah's what was like, oh, I can't believe you just like threw them under the bus.
And then she was like, no, I think of what I can't believe. Someone
maybe they
said
need
that to you.
Maybe they need to be thrown under the bus.
Oh no, they
for sure. And then she was like, who was it?
This era,
they'll never tell us.
In this era, I feel like from a public profile standpoint, it's both difficult, but in some ways easier to go out and say what they're saying because it's easier for people to come to rally to your support. It's easier to show evidence of these things should you have the evidence. I think about like the Diana era and everything was like mystery and mysterious and paparazzi
and telephoto lenses.
Exactly. Like now if Meghan and Harry want to be transparent, they can be transparent and tell their side of the story and dare mm-hmm. someone else to.
They can literally just do like an Instagram live and be like, this is what's actually happening. Like.
They could probably. Well,
but only because they like gave up.
Because they left.
Only because they left. Yeah. They would not have had access to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although, like, I wasn't that surprised by a lot of the stuff like you were saying. It was more like she was saying it out loud. But when she goes to Oprah and she's like, it's not like I could call an Uber. Like, that was like a slap in the face because you're like, you're so rich and powerful. You can do whatever you want. But she's like, they had my passport, my license, my car keys.
But it like, also makes sense that like,
I don't think she had her own smartphone.
That
right?
She like, believed she that they were protecting her. So it's like you keep doing whatever they say. You're like, no, they're protecting me. They're protecting me. And that lie that you believe and tell yourself. And you're like, that also kind of makes sense because you know.
I mean, if there's a country that has experience with throwing off the yoke of the monarchy, I mean, this is the place that knows about it. They have a whole play about it now. It's a big hit.
But yeah, I hope they'll be, I hope things will be better for them now. But I also, I'm glad they did it because I think they did need to call attention also to how racist the coverage of Meghan has been. She has not been treated the way that Kate was at all.
Amber Ruffin does a great bit on that too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh, she does such a great bit on that. Yeah.
Because they can do the same thing. Like Kate and Meghan can do exactly the same thing, and Kate gets praised for it.
Oh yeah,
and Meghan gets
avocado and with the
I think we all saw that.
And what's the difference?
Yeah. So I do recommend her analysis or explanation, which was very important. Again, like very important as a white person to like have certain things just explained to me. You know, like I understand why the comments, why the tabloids and the headlines are racist. I understand it. But then to have it explained in another way from someone who is Black, who experiences it differently. And it's helpful and sad and funny. And so I really do recommend.
I think it's such a valuable perspective that we can't really have it as a white person because we haven't been through it. So to hear it from someone who experiences it from the other side, I think is valuable. And not that it's their job to explain racism to us, because it certainly is not. But I think it is good for white people to hear the perspective of people of other races going through that. And maybe it will make us straighten up and fly right a little more.
And that's why it's important to have people in late night who aren't just named Jimmy.
I'm telling you, like, this,
no more Jimmies.
Her voice is very much like needed. And anyway, awesome. Yeah.
So cool. Let's throw to Lily. What do you have to share with the class?
So I just had a baby, so I'm like not gonna read for like 10 years. So I haven't read anything.
I'm still in my 10-year moratorium window.
I think last time we saw you, Lily, you were about to have said baby, were on your show. Yeah.
And you know what's funny is that he's here and I'm busier than when he was not here yet. So it's like it's a bit chaotic.
Amazingly,
I didn't expect it, but it's true. And so I can only read like text messages from Shy and Becky on my phone. I do recommend those. That is a great read.
Oh, are we joining the sibling group text?
If you would like to be in a WhatsApp chat, we should have a WhatsApp chat of the Friday Night Movie and Buddies Without Borders.
That would actually be really fun.
Sold in the room.
I'm in. Yep.
And like, I still don't understand Twitter, so I can't even really read that unless Shy tags me in something. I do read Stevie on Twitter because I find that fascinating.
I'm Lily's Twitter assistant.
I feel like I get a lot of my news through Stevie. I said,
your solemn responsibility.
I had to be more careful.
Yeah. So I appreciate your interaction with Twitter. It helps me. Oh, but
thank you. Sometimes I can't shut up on there.
Read. I like it a lot. And I would say that Shy gave Becky the incredible gift of Avatar, and he gave me the incredible gift of the Conrad Brothers creations and collaborations. So that is starting with Patriot on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
And because I'm in a foreign country and I can watch it, I'm guessing you being in a foreign country as well.
Probably.
Canada.
I can watch most stuff, but like most of what's on American Amazon seems to be on Canadian Amazon, with a few weird exceptions.
So with me, so they say, this is the list you can watch abroad. And then there's just like five shows. Oh. And that happened to be one of them. So,
thumbs up to that.
It is called Patriot. And I am like just beyond in love with the show. I understand that it's a particular taste or brand of dark comedy, absurd comedy.
Did you say it's Coen Brothers-esque? I always feel like the Conrad Brothers are Coen, like,
it's definitely Coen Brothers-esque.
Or Coen Brothers-esque.
I would assume that if you're anybody that you get that said about you, it's a compliment. Hello. But, you know, I want to almost invent a new word for them, because, like, just say it's Conrad-esque. Because it is very much in that vein, if you need sort of like a reference. And Coen Brothers aren't for everyone. I think that it's a bit of like a type of, you need a taste for that kind of, like, you got to get in it to get through it. And then it pays off in the end.
I enjoy the Coens mostly, but then sometimes they get a bit gory for me.
Hmm. So yeah, I would say that this doesn't go down that road.
Oh, okay.
In that sense. It's more of like the absurd.
Oh, that's the part I like.
Absurd crime and coincidence with like international spy components that are also
fun. Oh, cool.
Right. And then their follow-up, I watch them in reverse order, which I recommended. So I recommend that now. But then the follow-up thing that they did, and I'm sorry, this is just going to be one thing.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's them all terrible.
They only have two shows.
They only have two shows. Chris Conrad has, I'm sorry, Chris Conrad has been a bunch of stuff, but Steve Conrad, who wrote it and created it, he's written movies and stuff. But as for shows, these are the two shows that he's done with his brother, who acts in them. Mm-hmm. And that the second one is Perpetual Grace, which I just can't say enough about. Ben Kingsley's in it. Jackie Weaver's in it.
Oh, wow.
Dana DiLorenzo, Jimmy Simpson, and it's just fantastic. That's, again, also like the first few episodes, you're just like kind of like scratching your head, but you're like, I know this looks so cool, it's gonna pay off, and it does.
Oh, cool.
Like, I just think like it really, and I just feel like it's been so much a long time since I've seen something that you can like sink your teeth into and kind of talk a lot about after. And then like there's some like great jokes that like are great lines in the shows that you just want to say all the time. So like it's been a while.
I haven't
heard
of that one at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither.
So Patriot, Amazon Prime, and Perpetual Grace, you can buy on iTunes or watch on Epix. Shy, is that where?
Yeah. And so basically the answer is buy on iTunes, because
buy on iTunes.
For the amount of shows that are worth watching on Epix, just buy the season of Perpetual Grace Limited.
Epic's
because I would almost even like think of it as like going to a movie or something, except the movie's 10 episodes long.
Okay.
You know, and like, yeah. And it's probably the same, about the same price as going to a movie back when we could. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I ended up buying it because I was like, I haven't been to a movie in 2 years.
Yeah.
So,
oh, wow.
Like, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I really recommend that. Then gonna follow that up with, now I haven't finished this, so I can't give like I guess a full endorsement, but I'm really enjoying it so far.
Okay.
I think you guys would have this. I for sure think Stevie has this on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It is a mystery show called Lupin. It's from France.
I heard of that. I heard that was really
good.
We've
been asked for that all the time.
I haven't seen it, but we have it. Yeah.
It's great. So far it's great. Yeah. I'm on episode 4 and Omar Sy's in it, the guy from I think it's called Invincible or something, that movie that was quite popular a few years ago.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just in Europe. That's what it's Bryan Cranston made
the remake,
like an American version.
The American version. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's the same actor. He's awesome. And it's like a kid who is obsessed with like this novel of a thief who's like a master thief, and he like emulates him to do this like master plan of a robbery. But the first episode is so good, in and of itself could be a movie. Wow. Like it's like a 1 hour like thing that's amazing to watch. I thought the first episode was amazing, and so far it's pretty good. And then closing it out, which is with like a more documentary type thing, so that's I guess kind of like a book for Shy. Pretend It's a City on Netflix with Fran
so
Lebowitz.
Much fun,
so good,
so much
all
fun.
Things also, I've meant to watch and haven't yet.
Well, there
oh,
you
it's
go.
Great.
Yeah,
reminding you, it's really great, and I'm watching it slowly and just sort of like not like going through it too fast, and it's fantastic. And also kind of like it's nice. It reminds me of like what like the real world used to be. You know, and maybe we'll get back there one day.
Maybe we'll go to places and see people again.
Maybe, exactly. And it's kind of all about New York City. So like if there's any place to go and see people, it's in New York.
Yeah.
Sure.
So those are my recs.
It's almost like New York is a character in the show.
Is New York
the fifth character?
New York, how do you guys feel about, you all feel about New York as a character in the show? That's actually like,
I just,
to me, I'm just like, please no more.
That's like shy when you don't like when people say the costumes were like a character.
Yeah. How about the characters?
The costumes are so amazing. They were like a character. Have you guys heard that? You've heard that, though, right? I have.
Yeah.
No one's ever like, Toronto was a character in the movie. Toronto should get a chance. Vancouver should get a chance.
Vancouver is the opposite. Somebody made a video that's out there on YouTube called Vancouver Never Plays Itself.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and it's always New York, different or Toronto places that we've been. Yeah, because we've been everything. I mean, I worked for 10 years. I worked in a building downtown called Robson Square that was filmed at all of the time, and so we were never Robson Square. We had an ice skating rink outside, so sometimes we were an ice skating rink. Like sometimes we were a community center with an ice skating rink, and sometimes we were NASA, and sometimes we were the Pentagon, because it was a concrete, very low underground building with a lot of, like, it looks like you might, I mean, I've never been to the Pentagon, but if I had never been to the Pentagon and somebody put me in this place of concrete hallways,
you'd believe it.
I would. I would. Yeah. I mean,
I've been there and it works.
Yeah. We've been on, like, if there's a television show that even filmed its pilot in Vancouver, we were probably on it. Mm-hmm. You can see us on the X-Files multiple times, including the skating rink. And then there was years ago, the pilot for Criminal Minds came on TV, and I hadn't seen the pilot in a long time because it ran in 2005, which is before I started working at Robson Square. And I was watching it, because I was like, oh, wow, I barely remember this. And I was like, I know that building looks very familiar. I know that building.
I know that building.
I work in that building. It took me a while, but then I was like, oh, those are our stairs.
I love spotting Canada in a movie. Like finding Canada in a movie, or even better, if a movie is based in Canada and people, like, I watched, this is not my piece of media, but I recently watched Clive Barker's Nightbreed, which is a B-ish horror fantasy-ish movie from the 90s.
That sounds like something we would make, yeah.
And its star, David Cronenberg, is in it as an actor.
As a
serial killer actor.
That's unusual.
Huh.
He does act occasionally, but it's unusual.
He's pretty terrifying in this movie.
And it's very terrifying in general.
The human is the most scary monster, right? Of course, the monsters are the good guys.
Oh, right. Yes, we were the real monsters.
Exactly. Yeah. And the best part is that this gateway to this world where demons are safe from the, like, evils of Earth is in a cemetery outside Athabasca.
Oh, boy.
And so when there's a big showdown between, like, the militarized racist / speciesist police force, it's like Alberta sheriffs chasing down these kids hiding out in Athabasca.
Amazing.
And this is an okay movie, but I enjoyed the fact that they were like, we have to go to Athabasca.
Yep. It's a deep cut.
Yeah. Sounds made up.
It does, and yet it's not.
I wonder if they gave him a deal. I'd take the deal on my movie and change the city.
I mean, maybe they got a tax break or something for it. Yeah.
Do you like the idea of, like, amazing, we have to stop them from reaching Edmonton at all costs.
Protect Calgary.
Exactly. We'll draw the defensive lines here around Oshawa.
Oh, you can just escape to Buffalo over the lake. I don't know if that's, I would. Right.
This is the biggest threat Halifax has ever faced.
Well, with that, I think we should move on to Shy's Rex.
Yeah. We're your official Rex.
I'm pretty sure Shy just gave us a Rex.
So
I think you did.
I think you did.
It was not
a
rack.
It was like a bonus.
That was just some Canada. You know what? I'll start though with Canada and horror, but a horror comedy that has drawn my recent obsession, and frankly the whole crew of folks around this. But this movie, PG Psycho Gorman. I don't know if you've seen it, but you must have seen me posting about it like crazy. It's like Stranger
Things. Shy is all in. He's all in.
You're excited about it, but I still don't know what it is.
So Steve Kostansky was part of this group of directors, artists, writers, special effects artists called Astron 6. And their entire goal is to make these, like, 80s style filmed on video VHS.
Oh yeah.
Movies, but now they're these folks have all had enough success with their different projects, which, and so PG Psycho Gorman, which is the first one I've heard of, and I think most people have heard of, got a lot of critical acclaim. It has a Stranger Things ET vibe.
Okay.
With a little bit of Ghostbusters, dark humor, very funny kids. It doesn't officially take place in Canada, but it's 100% Canadian.
I mean, we can always tell.
He's Canadian.
You can tell. Yeah. You can tell.
Just when they don't rub the accents out, you know. And essentially this little girl uncovers a demon in her backyard, and the demon becomes essentially her pet, and he's like bringer of the apocalypse, and that doesn't change, but she essentially like walks him around town settling her debts for her, and
then there's into that
intergalactic council that comes on Earth. And so on one hand it's endearing, kind of Stranger Things a little bit stuff, but it's also bleak and nihilistic when you get to the end also. So it's not for everybody. It doesn't sell out its ending for like a super happy ending, but it cracks you up throughout. It's got a great soundtrack. We had the good fortune of interviewing the director. This is one of the rare times where we actually like emailed the company, and I was like, please, if you're doing anything, may we have a chance? Like usually we reach out to someone because we want to like hang out with them, right? But this was like, you know. And I also just, I absorbed myself in a few of his other films, which range from like just really strange sci-fi comedy called Manborg. It's like 88 minutes long. There's stop motion. There's green screens. There's Canadian actors playing with Australian accents. It's just and then some other stuff that they did that's pretty gruesome. But PG Psycho Gorman is definitely mainstream in its appeal and is getting the credit and reviews that it deserves for the people who go and see it. But you do have to be somewhat of a consumer of horror comedy. You do have to be like, okay, I don't mind a few heads being ripped off. It's all practical effects, or almost all practical effects.
Cool. I mean, I assume they don't actually rip anyone's head off, but
no. It's not that. No. And most of the death is dealt to for aliens that like really strangely designed aliens. It's very over the top.
I don't mind horror comedy. Like I love Stand Against Evil, for instance. I thought it was amazing.
Then I think you'll like this.
Yeah, it sounds good. It has Stan vibes. It has the small town experience of Stand Against Evil, that like small town feeling. It has a little bit of that as well, like the local sheriffs and all that. So that's my big recommendation. Even though it's not for everyone. I think I've been thinking a lot about what are the things I've been introduced to in the last year that really have meant a lot to me in terms of artists, writers, comedians. And I know you're all familiar with the work of Deani and Divine.
Absolutely.
Gabe Deani and Etta Divine, and our Janet Varney tweeted about some cute film she was in, some cute horror comedy she was in called The Selling, which I watched and immediately fell in love with.
Yeah.
And then watched their follow-up film, the Deani and Divine Meet the Apocalypse, and now I'm
love
obsessed
that movie.
It's so good, right?
Yeah, I think about it regularly.
Yeah,
every time I pack my car, I think about that. Yeah. Like we're gonna be taking some family trips this summer.
Yeah,
and we're gonna be driving to those little vacations, and I'm already thinking about that packing scene and how that will translate into my life.
What do I need in case there's an apocalypse?
And whereas Psycho Gorman has a sweetness throughout it, but it sort of leaves it at the end. Deani and Divine, like the beauty of their work is it has a heart. It has like that Parks and Rec heart. Like there's these
absolutely
absurd, perfect way
dark
of
circumstances,
it,
yeah. but these are like good people who recognize really interesting things about themselves in both the films.
Yeah.
And then I'm also obsessed with they currently have these sketches regularly posting of Mark Twain in the 21st century.
Yep.
And they kill me. They kill me. I think they're so funny. So though I feel like I was in the survival pack of this year, and there were all the people I knew and loved beforehand, I feel like those movies are now like in my survival pack of this quarantine world.
Like, yes. Yeah.
They give me great
That's
joy.
Great.
Yeah. I did watch the apocalypse movie during quarantine, and I'm glad I did. It was a good quarantine movie.
It's a great quarantine movie. Yeah.
Well, we were lucky enough, Shai and I ran into each other at the virtual Sketchfest this year.
Right.
And were you with me? We were lucky enough to talk to them, or I was.
I think, yeah, no, we all intersected right before I was about to get off. They popped on and we popped on.
We had a little chat. Yeah.
That was a fun, that was a wild experience, the backstage at virtual Sketchfest. I was grateful that you were there.
Yeah, it was very strange. I was very excited to see someone I knew. I ran into you. I ran into our friend Amanda, and I ran into Q. So I felt like I knew people. Oh, and then Janet and Mark and Hal. But otherwise, it was a very strange experience. But I'm glad they did it. I'm glad that I felt a little bit like I teleported to Sketchfest and back that night.
I missed Chris. I remember asking. I was looking for Chris.
He wasn't there. He didn't come to the party.
I did not.
He didn't spring for the party ticket. Which,
I mean, that's totally
indefensible.
That's totally indefensible. Fair. It's totally fair. I did. It would have been fun to hang out with both of you. And then the last one is one that's been around for a while that I text my sisters pretty much once a day that they have to trust me on.
Oh my God, we know. Yes. We're gonna get to it. We have our plates are very full. We're gonna get
it's
to
gonna
it.
Be good.
Crazy ex-girlfriend. Did you?
Oh, sure. Oh yes. You will love it.
The first two episodes are, I think the first two episodes are a bit of a hurdle because you really have to kind of like, it really sets the table and it leaves you quite anxious and it leaves you asking, are these characters going to grow? Or is this going to be like what I'm dealing? And the character growth is amazing. And the songs, the music is genius.
I will say I resisted it on the basis of its title alone. For quite a while.
That is a good point. I agree.
Yeah. But it's ignore the title. it is a very, very good show. And you do come to understand why it was called that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she does send up the title.
Yeah.
Once you get the opening, you don't get the opening theme song until the third episode.
I think that's right.
Once you do that, she goes right after the title.
Yeah.
Right
the
away.
Notion of a crazy ex-girlfriend. And
that's sexist.
It also deals beautifully with actual issues of mental illness throughout the following seasons.
I'm in the mid second season, but.
Oh, sorry. I won't spoil it.
Well, but the character is mentally ill and her issues with her mental illness and her journey has to be part of the show, right? For people to love the show as much as it is, it has to be part of it because it already seems to be part of it. And then there's another character who's dealing with substance abuse, which they had hinted at for a little while, and you hadn't really like it almost like, oh no, they're playing it for laughs, and then the character goes into rehab, and now
really
we've been in like a stretch of episodes without that character, and we're like, oh wow, that's they're taking this seriously.
They do. They manage to take those issues seriously and deal with them really beautifully. And at the same time, it's a really fun, funny show with musical numbers and light moments and love stories. And it's lightning in a bottle, I think, that show.
And another issue that they tackled in a way in which, and again, I don't want to spoil it, but my wife felt was more daring than often is abortion.
Yes.
More daring than a TV show would normally handle abortion. They handled abortion.
They also, without, I won't give you any details because I don't want to spoil anything in upcoming seasons for you, but they also deal with suicide.
Oh, you know, that's interesting because the show has a warning at the top of every episode that says suicide. And we kept double checking to see when it would be referenced. So I guess it's a reference to like in the PG warnings, it's like sexual situations, whatever, and suicide. I guess
I believe it's in the final season.
Okay, because there's a blanket.
They reference it throughout the whole show.
Well, there's like a blanket warning on the show, like the parental warning.
Oh, so wherever you're watching it, it comes up and says
it comes up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So now that being said, there are. You know, sort of references to I'll kill myself or mental illness things. So our assumption has all along been that, but at the same time, like I could easily see it going to that dark place. Anyways, Rachel Bloom and
fantastic.
She's tremendous.
Yeah.
I have like, it's sort of like when it's that It's not full Tatiana Maslany, but it's like that experience of I've discovered something. It's like you're finding someone who they've done this thing, right? Like Rachel Bloom may have done a lot of different things. She was a voice in Trolls, the same way Tatiana Maslany has done a million other things. But like there's a thing that they've done that suggests this is one of the most talented artists alive. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's how I feel two seasons into Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And I mean, An Orphan Black is kind of a similar experience where I'm like, oh, Tatiana Maslany can never do anything again, and she will still be one of the most talented.
She cemented a legacy with that show.
Yeah, I think she did something in that show that not only did no one know she could do, but that I didn't know anyone could do.
That's a good point. Didn't. Yeah,
like to play that many characters and differentiate them that well and do it for that long and that seamlessly is just, I mean, the thing that really got me was when she would play. So you have Tatiana and then she's playing one clone, playing another clone.
I love Vanessa Hudgens.
I love Vanessa Hudgens, but the Princess Switch has nothing on.
And she does it multiple times with multiple layers of different clones. So, you know, she's been like Cosima playing Allison, I think. And she's been
Sarah like playing Allison, Allison playing Sarah.
Like, one of them playing Rachel, one of them. So she's done multiple levels of various clones playing each other. And it's to telegraph that to the audience while it's still being believable in the scene that the other person would believe that they're speaking
so
to.
Nuanced.
It's incredible. It is. Yeah, it's just, it's phenomenal. It's, I didn't know anyone could do that, but she can.
I feel like we need more of her too, though.
All the things. I think she's made a couple of films since, but I also think no one's doing a lot of work in the pandemic. So
there's an animated show where she's one of the voices called Three Below. It's it's part of the Troll Hunters Tales of Arcadia, Guillermo del Toro's Netflix animated series. Okay. And that is by far my favorite of the, there's three pieces there. They're not really sequels as much as it's a spinoff and a spinoff and a spinoff. And then they're all going to come together like Avenger style for a final thing.
Guillermo del Toro cinematic universe.
Exactly. Maybe Pan will show up. And this one deals with these aliens who land on Earth, but it really is also deals a lot with people coming from places that are not their home and having to hide out and how they're treated. And anyway, she plays one of the two siblings and she's amazing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
Kind of channeling her Helena voice also, which.
Nice.
Which we need more of. A lot more of.
Absolutely.
Helena spinoff.
Yeah, I started Crazy Ex-Girlfriend when it was new and I got through the first season and then it just kind of fell off my radar, but it's been long enough that in order to get back into it, I probably need to rewatch the first season and that has been like an artificial barrier of entry to me.
I mean, I would recommend starting at the beginning. I bought the whole thing on iTunes. I own all four seasons and worth it.
That's a buy. See, in Byron, Stevie Jackson has endorsed this.
There we go. So that's what I really needed. Shy. I needed endorsement.
That's in Canadian money. It was purchased.
That's right. It was. So now I know Lily and Becky, we're going to lose you in not too long, but do you have a few more minutes to play?
Yes.
Quiz game.
Canadian quiz game.
All right. Let me find my quiz.
Canadian quiz game.
I did not make this up. It's on the internet.
Oh boy.
It's a 12 question, how Canadian are you quiz. So I guess we should preface this by saying.
Should have researched Canada. You're
saying we grew up in Quebec. So that's like also like a really different brand of Canadian.
Yes. But then who knows who made this quiz? Yeah. So for the listener, yes, the Corbins grew up in Quebec. So they have lived
for
in
the
Canada.
Record, Shy is the most Canadian of the three of us, just for the record, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. Becky was imitating a Montreal Jewish accent yesterday when we were having dinner.
I can answer the quiz in my accent if you want.
I think you should answer the quiz in your Montreal Jewish accent.
No problem.
lest anyone get weird about this, the Cormans are Jewish. It's okay for her.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
and Canadian. So
yes. So I don't want letters. Okay. This is allowed.
And what's the name of the one of the clones for us reminded us of a Montreal Jewish.
It was girl. The one
Crystal. Was her name Crystal?
Like Crystal.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah. Oh, she was something
the one with
else.
Her manicures. I just remember yes, her going to get her manicures.
That was Crystal. That was Crystal. Okay, I'm going to change my view so I can look
do
at you guys.
Do we all answer? How does it?
One of us should question. Answer
for the family.
I'm gonna, if I like answer
a team answer,
I think you people. Can collaborate. I think right. It's fair if you collaborate.
All right, one answer for the three of us.
One
I was
going
to joke.
Three.
I should answer to be the control group just to get a zero.
Oh yeah. Okay, the first, now we start off with an easy one. 12 questions, number one should be easy. This, by the way, is from the Canada 150 quiz for the country's 150th birthday. So it's like 4 years old, I guess. That would have been 2017. It's how Canadian are you? So question one, and it's multiple choice. What's a double-double? Is it a coffee?
Oh, guys, I don't even need, I know.
You don't even, oh, go ahead.
I don't even need the multiple.
Tim Hortons. Okay.
So it's at Timmy Ho's, Tim Hortons Double Double is yep. a coffee with two cream, two sugar. And correct. This is me answering, like I'm in Montreal and I go, hi, hi, can I have a double double?
Amazing. Amazing.
That is correct.
The US answer for disgusting this is that is an In-N-Out burger.
Okay, question two. Where does a toque go? Does it go on your finger, on your sofa, or on your head?
On your head.
On your head.
Our dad loves
it. Confusing it is to move from Canada to the US.
Beanie?
Yeah. And you're asking, you're like, oh, I need to grab my toque or I need to buy a new toque. And people are like, what? And then they're like, it's very lots
our
of miscommunications
on
that one.
Where's my toque?
But is that a beanie in the US?
I think so.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Which is funny because I grew up with a beanie. For some reason, a beanie to me was that little hat with a propeller on the top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a
beanie. That was that too.
So it was confusing to me when I learned that what my entire country calls a toque was known as a beanie. Like, but it doesn't have a propeller. It doesn't. But correct. See, it goes on your head.
I think of a toque as Pippin from Lord of the Rings. So everybody loves a toque, has a very different
toque.
Oh, I don't know that reference well enough to understand it.
Gandalf's always upset, grumbling about the toques.
Yep.
It's a reputable family.
Uh-oh.
If you think about Gandalf's dialogue as referring to a hat, that's a lot funnier.
That would be, wow.
Throw yourself in and rid us of your stupidity, hat.
All right, you guys are nailing this so far. Mm-hmm. Question three. What is the main ingredient in poutine?
The main like French fry.
I mean, I would say it's either French fries, cheese, or gravy, but like, what are the
choices? But I feel like the main one is French fries, right?
Okay.
But there's only cheese? Three. Cheese, curds, and gravy.
There aren't acceptable other ingredients in poutine.
Well, I'll give you the multiple choice for this one.
Okay.
Bacon, fries, or cheese curds? What is the main ingredient?
Oh, well, then I'm going to say cheese curds. Because
now, see, I
would have said definitive of a poutine.
I would have said fries is the main ingredient. Now I don't know which one to press.
No,
that was weird.
Cheese curds. Because we're saying
but you're not going to be able to have the curds without the fries.
Yeah, but you can't use
sauce as a frite sauce.
Yeah, exactly. It's a frite sauce. And two, you can't use cheddar cheese. You can't use...
Yeah,
that's true.
You can't use a different cheese.
You can't just use any.
It has to be a squeaky curd.
Yep.
True. It is a little like, what is the main ingredient?
Use anything other than French fries.
Squeaky curd.
Yeah. Although I would say,
are people who served like shredded weird cheese poutine.
There's like gourmet poutine now, which is nonsense.
Especially in the States. They love to.
Bastardized things.
Yeah. They seem to think that we eat a lot of it, which is poutine really until I was an adult, it only existed in Quebec. And it's very much
eat it every day.
And it's
I thought it was your national bird or something.
No one eats it every day. And it's very much like
that's amazing.
It's not gourmet. This
and
is
it
like,
and it only really existed in like, you know, ski hills, the Casse-Croûte, which was like the the roadside stands, and then like Belle Provence, which is like fast food. It was not like something you go into a restaurant.
McDonald's and... did have a promotional poutine when we were in high school.
McDonald's did have a poutine, but their gravy was a bit weird.
It was very
light. Or it was something that was homemade, really. It's watery. Like, it's kind of made of leftovers, right? Like it's, I mean, I've had it homemade.
It's like roadside food to me.
But I would, I mean, I'll choose whichever answer you guys agree on.
Guys, what are we choosing? Fries or cheese curds?
To outsmart this quiz, we have to go with fries.
I think fries are the main ingredient, but cheese is the definitive ingredient. Yeah,
because I do, there are people who do different cheeses even if
they're wrong. Yeah, so fine. So fries.
All right, let's see what the
quiz says. Without the fries, you got nothing.
That you got to put the cheese on something, I guess. Oh, it's not going to tell us yet if we're right.
Okay.
We have to wait till the end.
I like it. Right. Takes the pressure off. I don't feel like I'm.
That's a trick question, though. Like that was.
I think
a quick
so too.
Question.
Yeah, I think you could go with either of the two. Okay, what is Canada's national sport? Basketball, hockey, or lacrosse?
It's lacrosse.
Baseball.
It's t-shirts. What's
it's
that?
No.
This is a trick question. This is a trick question.
It's lacrosse.
It's lacrosse. It's lacrosse. But it should be curling.
Not hockey.
But you're right. It's not hockey. That one I know. It's definitely lacrosse.
Right. It's lacrosse. Every Canadian knows that. God.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you get told that.
So annoying. Yeah. And it makes no sense.
I've never seen anyone in Canada play lacrosse.
I have, but it's not nearly as common as hockey. Like it just isn't.
Right. Yeah, that would have been my pull for sure.
Yeah. Okay, next question. Now there's a visual here that I'll just tell you is an Inukshuk. And the question is, which Canadian Aboriginal group is known for making these Inukshuk sculptures? Is it the Mohawk, the Métis, or the Inuit?
The Inuit.
You're going to go with the Inuit.
Inuit.
I think you're right. Yeah. Okay. If you tap a tree, what are you doing? Are you checking to see if it's hollow? Are
maple
you
syrup. Playing an
That's right. Syrup out.
I know this one. I've been to Vermont.
And then you go to the Sugar Shack or the Cabana Sucre, as we knew growing up, and you have your.
You put the maple sugar on the snow.
Popsicle stick. Yeah. And then you're just eating. Like a snowy pile
like a glob of cold maple syrup. Yeah.
Do they do that in the States? Can you get that anywhere in the States?
That's probably a Northeastern thing. I didn't do specifically the snow, if they have that, it's Vermont, New Hampshire, maybe upstate New York.
I think the snow thing is very Canadian. Like I remember doing it in grade school. Like we went out to the forest and like they showed us how it was done.
To the forest.
Yeah, like they showed us tapping the tree and boiling it in a vat and then putting it on the snow and eat. Like, yeah, we did the whole, it's a part of our culture.
Also, I'm going to let Stevie give the multiple choice before I keep jumping in there. Sorry.
Oh, I mean, if you know it, go
I'm
ahead.
Like such a cutter offer. It's because I'm the youngest. I'm always afraid I'm not going to get the chance to speak. So I'm an interrupter, but you go ahead.
I understand Stevie. I'm the youngest in my family.
If you cut in, you have to use the accent.
Agreed. All right.
Okay, fine.
So this is the first one that I don't know off the top of my head.
Ooh.
Who were the Crazy Canucks? A punk rock band, a World Cup downhill ski team, or a group of innovative chefs? I admit I do not know.
Downhill
ski team.
Ski team.
Let's say ski team. I hope it'll tell us at the end what we got right.
Chef is not. That's not a word that I heard till I.
It's actually a downhill chef team. It's a downhill.
That's a group of crazy commands.
Like, unless they're making poutine, what are those chefs doing?
That is a movie I would watch. Just sliding down the mountain. Short order poutine to skiers.
Throwing cheese curds back and forth. All right, this next one is also a culinary question. This flavor of potato chips is exclusive to Canada. Is it ketchup, maple bacon, or dill pickle?
Oh, that's tough.
That's tough.
Well, like classically, we would say dill ketchup.
Ketchup. It's got to be ketchup because I've seen dill in the United States.
You've seen dill in the States?
Ketchup is so Canadian. It has to be ketchup chips. It's ketchup.
But that's not fair because, like, you only know if you're in Canada, you think that those are unique. But you wouldn't know what they have in other places.
Yeah, I didn't know that ketchup chips were Canadian until I was
an
adult.
Me neither. Neither did I.
I thought they were universal. Why would
some ketchup chips right now? It's the only answer.
I want all dressed chips.
Promised my children.
Oh, the best. I love
but then I went to go order them and it was like $30 for one bag of ketchup chips. Sorry. I'll wait till my in-laws can smuggle them over the border.
Yeah.
Hey, another app for your benign crime show right there.
I bet I can nail the
chip smugglers.
The great ketchup chip caper.
Okay. Are we saying ketchup?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's say ketchup.
Unless they're going to bring up those bizarre everything, whatever flavor chips that I've talked about before.
So good. All dressed are the best.
All dressed.
Get away from me.
Here's another
unsubscribe.
Mouth watering. He's never even tried them, you guys. He's never tried them.
Because I respect myself.
You're missing out so bad and you don't even know. All right, here's another one that I don't know. I don't know the answer to this, but maybe one of you will.
Do you even live in Canada, Stevie? Do you?
I mean, they tell me. Apparently, I've been told I'm Canadian.
Let's see.
How many Canadian teams are in the NHL? Is it six, five, or seven?
You can't ask that question and have it not be the national sport.
Okay, hold on.
Right? So, like, I don't even know.
If they had asked me about lacrosse, I would have been able to answer that.
Panthers,
naming random
Canadians,
NFL
Canucks,
teams, you know.
Jets? Do the Winnipeg Jets still exist?
I don't know. I know the Leafs and the Canucks, and that's it.
And
okay, so there's no way it's seven. Canadians.
Did the Oilers still exist?
Oh, the Oilers.
Oh, the Oilers.
Yeah, the
Flames. And that's three. So seven.
So we got the Canucks.
Yep.
Shy, seriously.
The Flames. The Oilers.
Flames.
The Leafs,
right.
Senators. The
Senators.
Leafs,
I forgot about the Ottawa
Canadians,
Senators.
So that's six, and then the seventh would be the Winnipeg Jets if they still exist.
What were the choices?
What are the choices?
Six, five, or seven.
What year was the quiz made?
Yeah. I'm going to say seven.
4 years ago.
The Winnipeg Jets, I don't think they
six just seems
yet.
Like not enough teams for
chances
a league.
Are the Jets don't exist, but there's another team you haven't thought
yeah.
of.
Yeah. I don't follow hockey well enough to know. So
I only knew seven of those, four of them.
Let's go seven.
Oh, I guess they play against the Americans.
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have our own. Oh, goodness.
we don't have a whole league. For a whole league.
Although it is the National Hockey League. We play, it's both countries.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
There's no explanation for it.
I'm going seven. I'm going to pray the Winnipeg Jets have not been disbanded.
I'm going six.
Okay.
Six.
Well, Becky, we can only choose one. We can only choose one.
So, Becky, you want to break the tie?
Okay. No.
I'm going to say seven because I can't imagine we were able to name all of the teams.
I think that's reasonable.
Fair. Yes. All right. Seven. That's what we're going with. We'll find out at the end of this quiz, I think, if we're right. Oh, boy. Okay. Complete the lyric. From the national anthem. From the
national
anthem.
Going to be from
in French or English, because I only really know it.
Oh, well,
it has to be a Celine Dion song or a Bryan Adams song.
That's right.
What we meant
those
by
are only choices.
I could do this in French too, but it's in English. So
I can do it in both.
Complete the lyric. True patriot love in all
our sons
command.
Not on the list.
Wait,
true patriot love in all our sons command. Sons command.
What are the choices?
Hold on. Let me give you the options because I think you've modernized it. So the options are
God's
sons
command.
Is the modern version?
Their son's command, your son's command, or thy son's command.
I guess it's
I think we were taught R.
True patriot love in all your sons. Wait, what were the choices?
Their, your, and thy.
All their sons.
It's gotta be thy.
Thy, yeah, let's go with
thy.
I was taught thy as a child, but I probably been changed because of the whole God situation. So,
right.
Okay. Did he get canceled too? I hadn't read about it.
All thy sons command. You know what? No, that sounds right.
We're officially secular, is all I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know this one either. These are getting harder. Question 11 of 12. We're almost there. What's the lowest recorded temperature in Canadian history? Is it minus 59 Celsius, minus 72 Celsius, or minus 63 Celsius?
72,
because keep in mind, it includes the Arctic, right? Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm thinking.
Right, like the tundra.
Yeah.
I instinctively thought 75, so.
Yeah, okay, so
is that Canadian Celsius,
72.
Or?
There's... Yeah.
I think after a certain point, they meet at minus 30, right? And they join.
Yeah. Okay, minus 72. Here we go. All right. Oh, okay. Final question. And this is one that I don't
There's
actually
know. There's no Celine Dion. I'm going to be disappointed.
There's no Celine Dion.
I think you're going to be disappointed.
There's no more songs. This one is just, so vehicle license plates in the Northwest Territories are shaped like shaped like which animal? Polar bear, beaver, or moose?
I mean, those people, like, I just feel like how... Okay. Is that really fair? How many people live up there?
I've never been up there.
Hasn't Becky been there? Becky?
No, Becky's there. Becky, what is it? No, I haven't been to the north. I've been to none of it. And I don't remember seeing any cars. So, yeah.
Well, you haven't been to any of Canada? I'm confused. No, I know the name of the thing.
Okay.
Terrible joke.
None of it. Okay,
let's think. Let's think.
It was the Northwest Territories when we were in elementary
school. So there's caribou there in north in Nunavut. Not, I can't speak to Northwest Territories. Not moose. So it can't be a moose because it's got to be a trick question because it's caribou. I mean, there could be moose there. I don't actually know.
I don't know either. Yeah.
Polar bears?
Polar bear. Got to be a polar bear. Why would it be a beaver? What's a beaver doing up there?
I don't know if beaver and moose live that far.
A beaver is one of our national animals.
Yeah, he's on the money.
It's on the back of the nickel, the beaver is. Yeah.
Which is more amenable to putting a license plate number?
This is what I'm thinking. Yeah.
A beaver's a better shape.
Or maybe a polar bear, though, because it's got
a polar bear,
wide belly and the little footsies. Little footsies at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, polar bear.
Polar bear.
Well, the polar bear's on the toonie, so both of those are on the money.
True. A moose is on something, too.
I think that's a caribou.
Oh, the quarter.
Caribou's on the quarter.
Caribou's on a quarter.
Okay.
Yeah, people like to pretend we love moose. It's really caribou.
We need to have animals on our money. This is so fun.
We got loons. We got
Looney, the toonie.
Yeah, hey, that guy owes me two eagles.
Exactly.
Okay, so what do we think?
Okay, Stevie, what are
we're going with polar bear,
beaver.
Polar bear. Final answer, polar bear.
Final answer. Let's find out how we did. Calculating results.
15 out of 12. Shit.
Oh.
My accent got us bonus points.
That's right.
You're a true patriot, eh?
Oh, yay. Wow.
I'm going to read it in my best attempt at a Canadian accent because I don't really have one. But
Well, you don't not have one.
That's exactly. True. That's what I was going to say.
You have more of a light. Canadian affect than a Canadian
accent. It's like a
accent.
Diet Canadian accent. You know, it's like.
I think it's my speech pattern more than my accent.
That's more what I meant, a speech pattern. Yeah.
It says a person would have to get up pretty early on a St. John's morning to outsmart you on Canadian facts. You're a real red and white Canuck who knows their Labatt from their Molson and who never forgets to roll up the rim. Chances are you'll be celebrating Canada's 150 under a shower, festive fireworks, and perched on your best Hudson's Bay blanket. Happy Canada Day, eh? So that it doesn't give me a number, but I think we have a perfect score. Because it actually
Wait,
doesn't
that's so
doesn't
Canadian
me.
That they don't even tell you how well you did. It's like everyone's a winner. Results.
What?
It doesn't tell us. I guess we just didn't get anything wrong.
We got a good amount, or we got enough right.
Yeah.
I never know about the French fried poutine thing.
That's right. I think I choose to believe that we got a perfect score.
It's a moral victory.
Yeah. Look at us. We're very Canadian.
This is so Canadian. Fun. I love that.
Yeah.
Without the validation of the
show,
that's right. Without the validation of the actual answers, I think I probably would have gotten at least 6 or 7.
You think? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm curious about the NHL thing. Were we right on that?
Yeah, we're gonna have to listen back and Google everything.
Results. I need to find out now. Number.
Yeah, Evans. We were right.
Oh, see, I think
that was a real
score.
That was a real win-win because either. We could only name 6 and and assumed we were wrong and got the correct answer of 7. Or even if we had gotten it wrong, we would have been like, oh, we named all the teams.
Yeah.
So, but
you got the temperature wrong though.
The license plates are polar bears.
We were right on that. What was the temperature, Lily?
Minus 63.
Oh, okay. Mm. So we got at least one wrong.
That's the coolest thing.
It's nice that it congratulated us, even though.
Guys, I miss
wrong.
Roll up the rim. Now it's March, right? That's when it
it's happening right now.
Roll up the rim to win.
Roll up the rim
to
win.
All March is when you roll up the rim.
Roll up the rim to win.
On your double.
You get to see. Yeah, you see what you want.
Yeah.
I think
Chris, do you know about this?
Canadian
do you know what this is?
Sibling.
Guys, I'm extremely Montreal. I wouldn't say I'm like. Canadian, but I'm very Montreal.
Montreal is a part of Canada.
That's how we pronounce it. We say it with a U instead of an O. Montreal.
Yeah. No one says Montreal. Well, Americans do. Americans call it Montreal.
It's Montreal.
It's Montreal.
Well, then spell it that way, you goofballs.
No.
That's not how we work. And in Montreal, we like to really enunciate the last consonant.
Also, Chris, you were right. Minus 63 is minus 81 Fahrenheit. It's a chilly day in the Yukon.
Very cold.
Oh,
in 1979.
Oh, no, I was not trying to split Celsius and Fahrenheit as being nationally designated. Just
but they are,
another
though.
Crappy Canadian joke.
Although I recently learned that apparently in Vermont they use Celsius.
Yeah.
There's
some places I'm sure that do here.
Yeah. Vermont has gone rogue and they talk in Celsius.
But is Blame the US, Bernie Sanders. Is this confirmed? Is the US the only country that doesn't use the
metric system?
Metric system?
There's like four others. Don't worry. Yeah.
You're not alone.
We are leading the charge in the wrong direction.
Yeah. But most of us are on metric now. Although I mean, my generation does not know what to do because the metric system came in to Canada between the time my parents were kids and we were kids.
Oh, so wow. I did
my
not know that.
Parents, mm-hmm. Yeah, my parents talked, they've more and more, as they've gotten older and it's been in place longer, they talk more in Celsius and in metric in general now. But when I was growing up, my parents spoke in Imperial and Fahrenheit, and my school spoke in metric and Celsius. So I can do both, but but it's very divided. Like it's still, despite all the signs being in kilometers, we often talk about distance in miles. Mm-hmm. I can only do weight in pounds and height in inches, but I do temperature in Celsius. And there's and most Canadians are like, of my generation are like this. Like if
my parents,
same,
yeah,
who are American but moved us to the state to Canada when we were little, and then they spent like 27 years in Canada. They do cold in Celsius and warm in Fahrenheit.
Wow, that's awesome.
I do that,
and it's the same thing for
Like if you're, if you're born in the 70s or 80s, that just seems to be, and they're like
confusion.
And there are very certain like feet and inches for height, pounds for weight, temperature is Celsius, but you will, I mean, because we have to drive in kilometers, some distances in kilometers, some is in miles, and we understand both. It's really weird. And it seems to be strictly generational. Like the next generation is getting more metric than we are.
The next generation is getting more metric.
But the Canadians of a certain age are confused.
More tolerant and more metric.
And more metric.
Yeah, aside from temperature, I use metric and imperial both for most everything interchangeably, and I think it's mostly because of science fiction and read a lot of stuff set in the future, or like the Star Wars books, like are all
in the
metric.
Future everybody's using metric.
Well, I mean, statistically everyone's using metric now,
I guess. But like if you ask me my height in meters, I can't tell you. I don't know. I have to look it up.
I only know because I went from
meters
Canada
doesn't
to
make
Europe.
Any sense. I'm sorry.
I'm a meter 60.
But hey, so you know.
Or 160 centimeters. Yeah.
I went from Canada to Europe. So I really
yet I can only measure
knees skis deep in metric.
I can only measure skis in centimeters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's one of those things that your skis are always.
Yeah.
Are always done in centimeters.
And it's like,
but I only know my height and feet and inches.
But it's like being bilingual, right? Like if someone says measure out 10 centimeters, like you can do it, right? You can sort of by eye anyway, you can be like, yeah, that's about 10 centimeters. But I would never talk in it.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Meters make a little bit of sense though. Meters make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that's volume is all metric here.
Volume makes sense.
Yeah. Although if you're cooking or baking, it's usually a cup of this.
Cups.
Cups and
no.
Makes zero sense.
A liter of cola.
Liter of cola. You ever
All of our liquids are like that. Yeah,
if I had measuring cups and four liters of milk that had metric measurements on them, I would just, you fill the cup.
Oh, yeah. Ours have both.
Right. But
ours have both.
Yeah. All of mine is, and yours are too, right? Double sided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So ounces on one side and milliliters on the other. And
yeah.
And they're so close. Like they really almost are. Line up.
Yeah.
Really, we're splitting hairs at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to continue to come down on the side of metric as just an inherently better system because it's base 10 and it's so much easier to conceive of kilograms versus liters when you're measuring solids versus liquids.
And the base 10 thing is a big deal.
Notice it's the most American person making that argument.
That's why I think it's important.
But also possibly the most evolved person on this.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. Alone that.
Pod. Quite evolved. So that could be it.
There you go.
I'll take the compliment, but I'm not 100% sure what you mean by it. And a giant lull. All right. Well, we're probably running against your heart out. So I'm going to invite our lovely
Wanted
guests.
To end on a compliment.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Please give us your plugs and tell us about all your projects that you may want to share.
Shy. You go first. You give the overall.
Oh, okay.
One,
so
and then we'll give our individuals.
Okay. First of all, this is so much fun. We can hang out forever with you all. I mean, that's the best podcast experience is when you're hanging out with people you would be hanging out with anyway.
Yeah, and I hate riding the break on our time.
Yeah.
Feel free to stick around after we
I'll hang recording. Out. My sisters have
I know they, I'm gonna
like,
I'm on
children to raise. So you can follow, but catch up with us every week on the Friday Night Movie Podcast at Fry Night Movie. On Twitter and Instagram or FridayNightMoviePod.com. You can catch me at Pancake and the number 4 table, Pancake 4 table. And I'm on Clubhouse now. And while it still exists, if you're out there and you want to talk about Canadian pop culture or what we're watching, I'm hoping that after we start our group text chat with Stevie and Chris, that I'll get you all on there because you will be great additions to it. And that's we have a Friday Night Movie Club on Clubhouse that I just started.
So oh, cool.
Actually people in it. We haven't decided what we are going to probably do some like live fun hanging out with people stuff at some point, but right now it just exists. So that's what's happening with us. Becky, I'll pass it to you next.
You can follow me at PaperBKPrincess on Twitter. And I'm also on Clubhouse. I think it's just my name. I don't know. Maybe go to the, it's probably just Becky. I'll look that up while we.
We'll put it in the
show. It is your name. It's
just my
Pamela.
Name.
It's your
Becky
same,
Pamela.
Okay.
It's your Instagram handle.
Yeah. There we go.
And I am on Twitter, Lily on Twitter, but that's not my handle. On Twitter is, I'm just saying me who's talking is Lily, is Chichi, C-H-I-C-H-I-K Gomez with a Z on Twitter. And I'm on Clubhouse. The problem is that like everything that happens on Clubhouse is on the U.S. time zone. So like every, like,
actually, a lot
of
it's West Coast. A lot of it's West Coast
right.
on top of
so
that.
So like as I'm like feeding my baby at 4 in the morning, it's like, you're invited to this on Clubhouse. You're invited to that on Clubhouse. The timing is not great for me yet, but I'm looking forward to hopefully one day being able to visit the States and like being able to be on the right time zone to participate more. But yeah, that's
all right. Well, I'm going to drop our plugs as well. You can follow the show on Twitter at Buds, W-O boards because of character limits. You can find everybody's plugs and click on things, show notes and more at buddieswithoutborders.tumblr.com. My website is christopherroyce.com. Say hi on Twitter at Chris M. Royce. Stevie.
My website is steviejackson.ca. Please watch Honestly Charlotte, now streaming on Fearless. And if you are in a country that does not get Fearless, we are also available on YouTube. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at steviekj.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for rating and subscribing and telling a friend. And thanks especially for our lovely guests for our Cormantine podcast.
Thank you so much for having
half
us.
Half Corman, half
Thank
quarantine.
Thank you so much.
Terrible fun.
I love that. No, it was great. It was.
I love it.
Like I said, the most evolved of the group. That's
just
going to
step on my shoelaces on the way out the door.
Thank you guys for having us. This was
Thanks
so much fun.
Thank you
so
much for
fun.
Thanks again.
Bye.
We'll talk to you guys next
Bye.
Time.
See you on the WhatsApp.
Yes.
On the WhatsApp.
Group chat.
Bye. Bye.